Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Adrian Wilson retiring. What's next? Adrian Peterson, a couple of Adrians today to talk about on the show. Good Monday to you and yours, 12 days away from the NFL draft. Well, what a good weekend for the Diamondbacks. I watched a lot of their games over the weekend. Some numbers around the team, too. I don't stat you to death. There are plenty of people that do that, but I do see stats that jump out at me when they're in the top 10 in offense and when they're in the top 10 in fielding. I think to the average fan, which the team desperately needs, no offense if you're a seam head. That's somebody who loves, eats, breathes, sleeps baseball. I like seam heads, but seam heads are not going to fill up a stadium. You have to be able to have mass appeal. Derek Hall is going to be with us on the show today in hour number two. I haven't had Derek on in a while, the president of the Diamondbacks. I want to know about what is the ceiling for their payroll. When you have a guy like Cole Hamels, who is out there in the Red Sox, reportedly already have interest, should the Diamondbacks be looking that direction? But when you have Corbin coming back, Hudson down in the bullpen, maybe there are already some starting pitchers down there. And also, why is Paul Goldschmidt not on the biggest stage in terms of national notoriety? Is it as simple as, look, he's here in Arizona, Brad, deal with it. If he were on the Mets with their 8-game win streak, if he were on the Yankees, even though A-Rod's killing it. Are you cheering for A-Rod, Eric? Is that thing?
I'm sort of indifferent.
I mean, we were just done with him.
Yeah, I'm just indifferent.
We were done, but it's become a bit of a story.
Oh, more than a bit of a story.
When you see him, it's like I look at him and say, is he back on the juice? Is he taking anything? Or is he just doing this all natural now, all of a sudden? I can't help but when I see him wonder, is he taking something? Because he's playing so well.
It would be a great success story if he puts up huge numbers.
Yeah.
And they test him and he's clean. It would eliminate not all the doubts, but some of the doubts. I mean, this guy
So you're there with me. You're there with me.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy's a ridiculous talent. Like, on steroids, off steroids. He hits the ball really far. He is an RBI home run production machine.
He's coming through.
And now he's, I mean, and A-Rod's old, Brad.
Yeah, I know.
Old for baseball players. Yeah. Not old for our standards, but old.
There's a bunch of baseball stuff that I like from over the weekend. I don't care that they're not in first place. All I care about with the Diamondbacks is I said 84 wins. I need 77 more and I'm dead on right. And I believe I'm going to be dead on right.
And the first go-around through the NL West should be really encouraging if you're a Diamondback fan. They took 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. They easily could have won the San Diego series.
Yeah.
They took 3 of 4 in San Francisco against the World Series champs.
But the thing about the Giants is they stink right now. They've got a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And Boch is going to bring them around because he always brings them around. This is it. They haven't found a replacement for Pablo Sandoval. Their starting pitching isn't what we thought it was. Their bullpen is beat. Is this really the end of the Giants? Because I think the Rockies are going to come back. I watched a lot of the Dodgers-Rockies. I actually purchased the baseball package. That's how into baseball I am this year. I have not done that in a long, long time. I watched some of the Padres-Cubs yesterday. I tried watching the NBA playoffs, and there were some nice moments over the weekend. Like Isaiah Thomas, I'm watching Isaiah Thomas thinking, wow, he could not have helped the Phoenix Suns. He was terrific. Isaiah Thomas was so good over the weekend. So, and then Saturday night, the Coyote thing, we'll get into that here in a minute. It's just, I think they're done. They're cursed. They have to be cursed. They're the Cubs in Arizona. That's how cursed the Coyotes are. So Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, our partnership with AZ Central. We'll have Paula on coming up at 10:35, and then Derek Hall in hour number 2. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino in 2 months. 2 months from today, in fact. Is the White Mountain Sun Devil Club big annual steak fry 3-day event. I'll be up there emceeing it, having a great time with Coach Graham, Coach Hurley, a lot of the ASU legends. We'll have a terrific time. And the place to stay if you want to head up to the event is the Honda Resort and Casino. Get yourself a room there. They have the entertainment, the great food, the fun. Pull down on the slots. Come join me for golf and the big events that we'll have. throughout the weekend. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Why not make your plans, guys? It's a beautiful time of year to get away middle of the week or on the weekend. The Honda Resort and Casino, again, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Paula Bovin here in a few minutes. So the Diamondbacks, let's start there. 3-4 from the Giants. 7-6 overall. They're not in first place. They're not in last place. The main thing for me, there's a couple of thoughts here. Goldschmidt, again yesterday, steps up in the first inning and gives them an early lead.
AJ takes off. Goldie gets it up in the air. High and deep to left. Does it have enough? Brandon Belt is up there, and he will watch it go. Paul Goldschmidt, his fifth home run, a two-run shot, and it's 2-0 D-backs.
And you like that. Get out to an early lead. It's tough to navigate through that lineup. Late in the game, Chris Owings, who had not done much at the plate, delivered a key base hit for the Diamondbacks.
Feeling like he's trying to do too much at times this season, trying to dig his way out. And he drops that one down the right field line. Goldie will score. Here comes Aaron Hill. And it's a two-run single for Chris Owings. A 5-1 Diamondbacks lead. A big two-out hit right there for CO.
So they win by a score 5-1. They take 3-4 from San Francisco. They finish with a winning road trip. They have Texas here for the next couple of games. Texas isn't anything great. Here is Chip Hale, the manager, on the road trip.
It was good. First road trip. Just kind of feeling their way through it. But I thought we played well in San Diego, and we definitely played well here. Yesterday was a tough one. They came back for a day game after night game and got up early. And we just added on some runs, and Hellickson did a heck of a job.
Okay, the more that I watch the team play, the more I'm convinced that last year, even before Goldschmidt and Trumbo were hurt, that the team didn't really want to play or wasn't focused to play or didn't respond to Gibson and the staff. Because when you watch Chip Hale's team play, there's not an area of the game that you look at and say, they aren't razor focused in this spot. Like, for example, the starting pitching the first week and a half, we were pushing panic buttons all over the place. This starting staff's going to burn the bullpen out. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Yeah, it's a long season. But you couldn't keep up with the pace of 4 2/3, 3 1/3, all the stuff that we saw the first week or so. Yesterday, Hellickson in the first inning, he was kind of scuffling around. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm getting uncomfortable watching him again. And then he got better. He actually started pitching a little bit more rhythm. He wasn't quite as slow as he's been. One run in 6 2/3 innings. Here's the number, okay? And I'm not going to stat you guys over the head and beat you into the ground, but I think it's pretty significant when you're having your conversation with people, or just for you to know, for your own edification. On this 7-game road trip, every one of the games, the starters went at least 6 innings. Every one of the games, the starters went 6 innings. If you have that type of production, even De La Rosa the other night in the loss, I thought he pitched pretty well. I kind of liked watching Ruby De La Rosa. Cole Mentor was brilliant after just not being very good the first couple of starts. And so there's that number with the starting pitching. Offensively, right now, the team is 8th in all of Major League Baseball in hitting. So they're getting after it at the plate. A.J. Pollock, of all people, is 9th in all in the National League in hitting at .356. Enciarte is .327. Goldschmidt's at .313. There's not an easy, real easy out in the top four, top five of the lineup. Defensively, a year ago, they were just awful. I mean, just dreadful defensively. They're 9th right now in all of Major League Baseball in fielding. Only 5 errors so far through the start of the season, first couple of weeks, 13 games, 5 errors. I'm going to take that. Tuffy Goswich is 3rd for all of catchers in Major League Baseball in fielding percentage. Goldschmidt's the number one rated defensive player in the game. Again, not statting you to death, just pointing out they're really good now. And when I hear that, well, there's no interest in baseball and baseball's a dying sport, and it's a dying sport when you have a team that year after year blows and doesn't play the game the right way, and is sloppy, and is not aggressive. I like seeing Goldschmidt steal a base here or there. I like how aggressive they are on the base paths. So, and I'm making them part of my viewing. It's not because I've got to sit there tonight. I'm in bad shape tonight in this regard. It's Dancing with the Stars night. My wife's going to try to force me to watch that crapola. Not happening. I'll go watch the Bulls play tonight. It's fine. But the Diamondbacks are off tonight. I'm disappointed in that. Next, they're off two of the next 4 days in a quirk of the schedule. And Chase Anderson will pitch tomorrow night. Archie's pitching Wednesday. So that's on my mind today. There's a lot around the Diamondbacks I really like. And it's fun to watch. It's fun a couple of weeks into this season to be into it. The other side of the weekend was the Coyotes. So, Eric, you were where were you? This will be one of those questions 10 years from now. Where were we the night that Connor McDavid got passed over? The Coyotes got screwed. However you want to put it. Where were you Saturday night?
I was actually at home, and we were getting ready to go out to dinner, and I pushed our dinner back just a little bit. And I was just like everyone else, just sort of watching the clock and on Twitter, and the countdown was on, and I turned it on, and then everybody on Twitter just was like, okay, here we go. And then in 12 minutes, everyone was like, okay, bye. Boom. Like, done. Like,
done.
That was the
Get
end of it.
Get on with our life.
Yep, that was... It came and went so quickly.
Here is the here's how it turned out. The Coyotes had a 13% chance of getting the number one overall pick for Connor McDavid, and here's how it turned out.
The first overall pick in the 2015 NHL draft belongs to the Edmonton Oilers.
No!
We got stabbed with a pencil in the eye.
But you know what? I will give the NHL credit. They didn't stretch it out like they do in the NBA, they do three picks, go to commercial, come back, three more, get a drum roll, you're all excited, then they go for three more breaks.
My wife and I were sitting out in a parking lot at the Tempe YMCA. Our son had a basketball game that started at 5:30. At least we were told it started at 5:30. And she's asking me, she's like, so how does this work? And I've got Sirius on, Sirius XM. And so we're listening to the NHL channel. And I said, they just have to finish either one or two. And she actually said out loud when they got to five, I think, come on, Coyotes, because she'd heard about McDavid. And I think everybody in the Valley, that while the Coyotes have been like the red-haired stepchild here the last few years, and we don't get me wrong here, when the Coyotes went to the playoffs against the Kings back in 11 or 12, whenever it was great. Ever since then, it's back to the way it's always been, empty building. Introduce the fans before the players. Not a whole lot there to be excited about.
And it was the cherry on top of a miserable year. They were one of the worst teams in hockey.
They were trying to get the number one
pick. But they didn't get one of the two studs. No. And now they're picking third. You might as well be picking ninth. I mean, I'm sure they're going to get a great player at number three, but nothing like the first two.
So here is Anthony LeBlanc. Poor Anthony LeBlanc of the Coyotes ownership. The reaction to his team sliding out of the second pick.
Well, obviously, we're disappointed. We were hopeful that we were going to be able to pick either move up to the number one spot or stay at the number two spot. But you immediately have to turn your focus to the fact that we have a tremendous pick.
Okay, what do you think it was like, Eric, when they're sitting there behind the scenes before microphones are put in front of their faces?
Bleep, bleep,
ah!
Bleep, mother bleep.
Ah! You got to be bleeping, bleep, bleep. So that was. You know, and it's like Brandon Knight having ankle surgery for the Suns over the weekend when they announced that, and the Suns had given up the potential top five pick from the Lakers to get him. And I'm thinking, they can't buy a break. But in the Coyotes' case, they tried to lose. They did everything right, except they got hosed in this lottery.
And lotteries are so, and lotteries in all sports are so squirrely.
Yeah.
I mean, you just look back to the history of, like, Patrick Ewing and the frozen envelope.
Yeah.
It goes back a ways if you're into the conspiracy.
Man, and Edmonton's just been awful in these drafts. They can't get it straightened out. So, all right, on the other side, there's a ton of NFL today to get into. The Cardinals have a press conference coming up at 1 for Adrian Wilson. We'll talk about that. Tebow, on the college front, did you see the crowd that showed up for Ohio State's spring game? The numbers on that were just crazy. And why is Stanley Johnson not announced he's leaving the U of A yet? And Arizona State makes a terrific, terrific move to add to Bobby Hurley's staff. All that straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So the NFL schedule comes out tomorrow, guys. 5 o'clock Arizona time tomorrow. But you know what's going to happen as the day progresses. There'll be teams that'll leak out stuff because that's the whole deal. Let's dominate. This will be an NFL dominated next couple of weeks. The Cardinals are holding a press conference today for Adrian Wilson. Tomorrow they're going to let us into their weight room to shoot some stuff, which is fine. Wednesday, Kime and Arians are going to talk about their draft plans, which is, I think, in terms of media availability to try to give you guys some insight into what's going on with the draft, the coach and general manager availability, it may go down as the biggest waste of time of anything that we cover during the year. Am I right on that one, E? Of all the things
NFL preseason games, select ones are completely worthless. Like the very last one is just a complete joke.
But I mean, it's nice and all that Kime and Arians come down, but here's the thing. Michael pays them for their opinions, and that's how that game's played. That's seriously how it's played. They're not going to give us anything. You know, it's going to be a whole bunch of cliches, which that's just what it's turned into with that one. And we'll go because, you know, you need to be at these things. But to me, it's just one of those events that will go on during the week and it's fine. And then the draft, of course, will be next week. So the schedule comes out tomorrow, and that's fine. I like the schedule. The schedule is fun. We can see the matchups and all that stuff. I've actually seen where some people want to had notes on this. Do we want to do a schedule contest here? No. We'd rather go out and tell stories rather than play guessing games and see who's got the most right. It's fine. I appreciate it. It's not what we're about. The Adrian Wilson press conference today. There's a 1 o'clock press conference at the facilities for Adrian Wilson. Adrian is one of those people that I really liked covering, even though he was an enigma at times. And I say that with all due respect. When you put a locker room together of any organization, doesn't matter. AC Green was an enigma when I would go into the Suns locker room. In the Diamondbacks locker room, Todd Stottlemyre was somebody that you didn't know if you're going to get your head completely ripped off. Like, I had no problems with Randy and all that stuff. Adrian, at times, could be very sullen, and at times, he could be terrific. It just depended on the day. And, you know, that's not a slap or anything. He was terrific in my mind because he's one of the last remaining, if not the last remaining link to when the organization was annually just flat awful. And he stuck around through it. He stayed through it and was somebody that was rewarded by getting to a Super Bowl. How could you not admire somebody who went through all the bad stuff and all the tough times? He made the Pro Bowl 5 times out here in Arizona, which is hard to do to get the national attention, but clearly the respect was there. I've had some people that said, I thought he already retired. No, he never made the announcement. He went from the Cardinals over to New England. Didn't work out for him. But for the last 2 years, he hasn't been able to get on the field. So today he makes the announcement at 1 o'clock. I'm happy that he's turned the page and moved on to the next step in his life. I have nothing but respect for Adrian Wilson as a football player, but he was just a little different in terms of he's not going to be the warm, fuzzy guy. And I'm fine with that. I like those guys. I actually like guys with chips on their shoulder that at times will just walk right by you. And then you have to show up the next day and the next day and the next day. I have no problem with that. The off-season workouts start today. And Adrian Peterson is clearly the off-season workout guy that I'm keeping an eye on. Is he going to show up in Minnesota? At some point, I would like Adrian Peterson just to say, I'm going to be a Viking or I want out of here, and we'll move on to the next step. I know Eric's done with Adrian Peterson.
He's not expected, Brad, to be at any of the Vikings workouts.
Not expected. That doesn't mean he can't decide.
From what I've seen on social media.
Yeah, and I don't believe everything I read on social media, so there. But, you know, it's like Peter was with us last Friday, Peter King for our weekly deal, and I think Peter's just done with the Adrian Peterson story. The story of the weekend is Tim Tebow. On the pro front, I'll get over some college stuff in a minute, and Paula will join us in about 5-6 minutes. The news of Tim Tebow signing with the Eagles, to me, is good for Tim Tebow. I don't have any problems with this. He's going to a franchise that has a whole bunch of quarterbacks, but all of them have question marks. It's not like you can say Mark Sanchez is better than Tim Tebow or that Sam Bradford's going to stay healthy when he's there. And if it's Chip Kelly is the guy that got him figured out, what I think is interesting about Tebow is he worked with Tom House. Tom House lives in a little shack of a house in Del Mar. I did a story on Tom House when he worked with Randy way back in the day, when Randy first got here, went over to Del Mar and told the story. And he has all sorts of different techniques of throwing and arm strength and trying to work on the elongated throw delivery of Tim Tebow. And evidently he's been able to do that. I don't know if Tim Tebow is going to come in and do anything, but it does make the NFL more interesting when Tim Tebow is actually on the field rather than us talking about him off the field. It does make for more interesting.
He's not going to make the team. This isn't. This is.
What
just
if
he, going,
what if Sanchez blows going, his knee? What if Bradford blows his ankle? How do you know
happen.
That?
It's just not going to happen.
April 20th. Are you just telling him he's wasting his time?
It's just not going to happen. He will not wow. be. He will not be on an NFL roster.
Are we
this
rolling
fall.
On this, Jared Nielsen? We have this down on record. The Eric, mark that, flag it, something. When he throws five touchdowns against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day,
there is a reason why he has been out of the game. There is a reason.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly is trying to catch lightning in a bottle, which is fine. But
are you not cheering for him?
No.
Wow, you're just really negative.
I'm over it. I'm over it. His legacy will always be as one of the greatest college football players to ever put on the pads.
He was pretty good at Denver.
He was okay. He was pretty good, but it
is it the religious
it
right
left,
thing that drives
left
you nuts?
So quickly.
Is it the religious right thing that drives you so nuts with Tebow?
No, not really.
All right.
I mean, he's polarizing. I get it. I just don't think he's a great quarterback. I mean, there's a reason why he's been looking for work.
What does Chip Kelly see in him then? Why there? I mean, we were all saying he should go to Jacksonville and go get his head kicked in.
In the offseason has proven that Chip Kelly is all about the bold.
Is he crazy?
Out with LeSean McCoy.
Do you think he's
nuts? In with Kiko Alonso.
See, I think he's
maybe
one of these
a little
guys.
Bit.
I think he's one of these guys that I'm smarter than you.
Yeah, probably.
And when Arians beat them last year here, I actually kind of like that. I was actually kind of happy what they did to Philly. And, you know, in Eagle fans, are they going to boo Tim Tebow? Could you imagine today what it's like in Philly with Tim Tebow on the front?
It's such a horrible fit.
Because the Phillies blow, the Sixers blow. So, you know, right there, there's what do they have to look forward to? Of course, it's Tim Tebow. All right, I'm going to say something here that's going to really upset fans of Arizona State football and University of Arizona football. I'm going to look right into the camera and tell you that you will never, ever, ever be able to do what Ohio State did over the weekend. Ohio State had their spring football game. They had 99,000 fans that showed up at Ohio State over the weekend at the Horseshoe to watch a worthless, meaningless spring football game. 99,000. And when you see the pictures of it, it's really amazing to think that Ohio State could cram that many people into a stadium. Nebraska had 76,000 fans that rolled through. Penn State had 68,000 fans that rolled through. Guys, I don't know how to tell you this. Arizona State football is never going to have 20,000 people that show up to watch their spring game. Can't see it. University of Arizona will never have. Eric, you were just down there. What was it like? It was like, what, a couple thousand maybe tops? A
couple thousand.
Couple thousand. Do we have pictures of this at Ohio State? The pictures that we have, and we'll get them here in a second, 99,391 fans that packed in the stadium. And I get it that Ohio, what is there to do in Columbus, Ohio? There's nothing else to do in Columbus, Ohio. I completely understand that. And I also understand what it was that happened this last season with the Buckeyes, that there'd be interest. And I would think, you know, 30,000, 40,000, maybe 50,000 fans. I'm sure there's some of you that are looking at me right now screaming at your computer saying, you've never been back there. You don't understand how big of a deal it is. You're right, I don't. I don't understand why almost 100,000 people would go see. Spring football games are worthless. I mean, they're just not that exciting.
I ruffled some feathers of some of my Nebraska friends because Nebraska last week went on social media and touted the fact that, wow, look at all these people we have at the spring game.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'd gladly trade 90,000 people at the spring game for conference championships
and
big six bowl games.
Oh.
And it did sort of, you know, disrupt the masses a bit, especially from one of my really good friends who now lives in Nebraska. But Ohio State, you know what? They're on a high, and if they want to put 99,000 people in their stadium, then so be it.
So here's the thing on Nebraska. So Mike Riley, I get it at Nebraska, but at Ohio State, and I think we have the pictures now of this, at Ohio State, they've got three quarterbacks that they've got to figure out which ones they want to use. This is not Ohio State against Michigan that you're looking at. This is Ohio State on Saturday that you're looking at.
And that's not an enhanced photo. That's an actual real photo.
Well, there's some empty bleachers there. It looks like they could have fit in, you know, another 5,000. I don't know. But yeah, that's at Ohio State over the weekend. And there's the Arizona State brand. It's a good brand. It's not a great brand. Even with Ray Anderson here and with what Ray is talking about doing and Todd Graham, I know that we hear about, well, it's a pro sports market and they're never going to. If your program gives you that much to get excited about, if ASU football won a national title, let's just say that they won a national title, could they draw 50,000? It'd probably be about that, but even so, spring football games are just painful to sit through and watch, so. I caught my eye over the weekend. Paula Bovin's going to join us next. Derek Hall in about 20 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on Sports360AZ.com for you to check out right now. Terrific, terrific piece that Eric put up this morning. Jeff Van Raphorst, legendary Sun Devil quarterback. His son, viewed as one of the top lacrosse players in the nation. Eric went out, shot the story, talked to dad, talked to the son, talked to the mom, talked to the coach. Check that video out on sports360az.com right now. Paula's next.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist. In an airport somewhere, being frisked through security, but managing to get to the phones. Adrian Wilson, later today, press conference, we're assuming that he is going to finally announce his retirement and that he'll be put in some position with the Arizona Cardinals. Could be a coach, could be in the front office. Your thought of Adrian Wilson on my end, not the easiest person to deal with, which is fine because he was such a fierce player. Kind of sullen at times, kind of unknown to me. Now, you may see him differently.
Well, you know, he was a little bit bad. I think it was just his personality. But the thing for me that jumps out isn't even the hit. It's the fact that he loved being a Cardinal when it was unpopular to admit that. You know, guys would leave town and they'd mock the organization. He was a guy that really invested his heart into, you know, the Bidwell family, being a member of this organization when it was uncool to do so. And I really respected him for that.
It was like Larry Centers and Eric Hill, and there was this kid, Adrian Peterson. Aeneas had moved on to the Rams. It was that little bit of a gap where he's the last remaining piece when the organization was just dreadful, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, it was the lowest of lows, but I remember those times interviewing him, you know, even early on, and he was proud of that sort of the Cardinal logo, and he wanted fans to buy the jerseys of the Cardinals, and he spoke very, you know, glowingly about the Bidwell family, and it kind of impressed me, and it didn't surprise me that he stayed with the organization, you know, as long as he did. Even if he didn't finish with them, he was there a long time, and I thought that just kind of reflected who he was.
Adrian Wilson today, press conference over the Cardinals facility. Has not been on the field the last couple of seasons. I would want him as any part of my organization. He's in the Ring of Honor, right?
Yeah, he's got to be. I mean, he's got to be. You think of all the hits of the amount of games he played, just the difference he made, not only getting to a quarterback, but, you know, the hits he had in the backfield, plus the hits of the running back. He was all over the place. He's got to be in there.
Okay, the Coyotes. So I saw you on Twitter. I was on Twitter. I'm sitting in the YMCA parking lot with my wife listening to NHL radio on Sirius. We're having Dutch Brothers to try to keep us going. And she's like, oh, so what has to happen here? Is they're counting them down. I said, well, they just have to finish in the top two. If they finish anything other than two, it's an awful day. And then they announce, oh my gosh, it's Edmonton and it's Buffalo. And she's like, what happened? I said, it's an awful day. There's no way you can spin this any other way that Saturday was an awful day for the Coyotes, right?
I thought so. I mean, you know, and part of it for me was I was sure they were going to get one or two. I just thought their fortunes had changed, you know, that looks like they've got stable ownership, or at least for a while we're quiet about them relocating. You know, the team seemed just committed to spending more money. I thought it was all going to work. And when it happened, and I know the odds said it wasn't because the NHL has that weird system of, you know, of how they shake things up at the beginning and that they only had a 33% chance of getting one or two. I still thought it was going to happen. And, you know, it may very well, number three pick is hardly the worst thing in the world, but there was such, you know, glowing words about number one and number two. It just, guys who could, they were the guys who could play in the NHL almost immediately. You know, the others, there's talent, but they're works in progress. They're young and they need more experience and blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. I just thought it was really disappointing, if anything, because it could have really generated some excitement and momentum in the community. Now everybody feels let down.
I am one of those that is of the belief that they won't be here in 3 years. And that's just not, that's me just saying the league at some point will become fatigued. In the city of Glendale, I don't know how many managers, city managers and assistant city managers they've run through.
Right.
I have friends that live in Glendale who talk about their tax burden and how it's just not good.
Right.
And that this parking garage that they're building, and your paper's done quite a bit on it, which is fine. It's a story needing to be told, but there's nothing that I see that gives me any hope at all. And that at some point, Maloney and Tippett have to say the definition of insanity is beating your head against the wall. Am I too dark on this? Or are you there with me?
No, I think you're a little dark. You're not too dark. Maybe you're a little dark, Brad. I think, yeah, I mean, at some point, and believe me, the NHL more than anybody wants it to work here. We've just seen how hard they've committed to it. So you still have that on your side. I think what has to happen, though, is this organization needs to get into the postseason. They've got to spend some money this year. The new ownership has got to spend more money and find a way to put together a team that can get in the postseason, because it's the only way I think this community gets excited. It's hard for them to embrace a number three draft pick, or, you know, they love Shane Doan, but Doan's not going to be around much longer either, you know. Mm-hmm. So the organization has to win. I think that's the only way they survive, and they've got to start turning the corner this season.
I know money speaks, okay, but if you're a top line free agent, why else would you come to Arizona? We've gone through the whole the weather and the golf and what a great this and a great that. Hockey players are wired a little differently, you know. It's not always money, and they want to win. And why?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the Suns. Why would you come to Arizona? They haven't been able to win on the ice, other than we're going to pay you five times greater than what you're worth. I mean, you gotta overspend.
Well, you make a good point, Brad, but you also said money speaks. And I think for some players, if you can make a big enough difference in what you're paying versus another organization, that can lure some guys. Because the bottom line is, hockey players, like in most professional sports, their shelf life isn't very long. I think they want to make as much as they can in the short window they have to compete, especially if you're somewhat of a veteran and looking down the road, how much longer can you play? That could be enough. And so that's why I think we need to see the team open up its walls a bit.
Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. She joins us every week, sports360az.com. The Diamondbacks at a 7-6 start. If Paul Goldschmidt played in New York City and was a Yankee at first base, he'd be being talked about for the Hall of Fame. Because he's in Arizona, he's kind of off the radar. We can appreciate him out here. But when you talk to your colleagues nationally, what is the view of Goldschmidt?
They are hugely impressed by him, and they always comment kind of what you said, but also about his personality. You know, they'll either joke he's not a great interview or he won't say anything controversial. Yeah, he wouldn't make it in New York in that sense. He's not going to say something that'll land on the headlines, although maybe they could find a way to make that happen. But, yeah, I think a lot of the talk that I hear from my peers is just his personality, and part of that is the reason maybe people don't talk about him, you know, or aren't as excited nationally as they should be. But gosh, he, you know, good for him for sticking to who he is. It may not always be the best quote, but he is consistent. You never hear a peep about anyone suggesting he's doing anything to make him play well, because everybody knows he's a great athlete, a hard worker, and that's where he is. And so more power to him. But you're right, Brad. I mean, you don't kind of hear the buzz that should be associated with someone of his talents.
They're 7-6, and some of the numbers behind the scenes with the team, they're eighth in all of baseball in hitting. They're ninth in fielding. They only have five errors through the first 13 games. And one of those games was a poor defensive performance. So I'd say overall they're so much better. And he's the number one fielding first baseman in all of baseball. I just feel like with him, his success is obviously a big reason why they've been off to this quick start. But I would hope that nationally some things in the next few weeks would start to pick up around Goldschmidt.
Yeah, no, I think it will. I mean, certainly if he keeps hitting this way, and certainly if the team plays better, keeps playing as well as they've been playing, and it's really impressed me. I mean, another defense is going to be good, but their interior defense is just so solid. Their their bullpen has done the job. They're starting pitching. Again, as the summer goes on, we may see a change in that, but that's been impressive. So I think if the team kind of gets some attention, then you know how everybody jumps on the unexpected team storyline, and then they jump on the Goldie storyline too.
Are you surprised Stanley Johnson has not announced, "I am leaving U of A for the NBA as of now"?
Yes. I don't understand why he hasn't. I've been a little bit removed and haven't followed it as close as I usually do with U of A, but I just can't imagine there's any reason that he wouldn't. I know some people say his stock dropped a little bit in the postseason, but I can't imagine it's that much. So I would imagine that announcement will be coming any day.
Some kids like college, and I'll talk to kids that leave college, go to the NBA, and they'll tell you afterwards, "Boy, I really miss college." Well, yeah, but you don't miss where the decimal point is on the paycheck. There is a give and take, and now you have a job. And maybe he's one of those kids. Remember Ike Diagu, and Ike Diagu is not anywhere as close to Stanley Johnson. But Ike, from every corner, did not want to turn pro, and his family pushed him to do it. They wanted the money.
Yeah.
So I think that could be what's going on here.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I think Stanley liked his experience at UA. Everything I've heard, he just was wired to play professional ball, and this is kind of the pit stop. I mean, he was more that kind of a kid than I think Ike was. So just my gut feeling, maybe he's just trying to wait and get some confirmation on where he'll go and if he thinks there's value in waiting another year. I don't know. There's a lot of good young players going out this season, so maybe his stock dropped a little bit, but I don't know. I think we'll be hearing from him soon, Brad.
All right. Anything you're working on this week?
I've been with my mom this past week. She was ill, so I'm a little bit out of the loop. But I got to be honest, I'm fascinated today about the Tebow story and the Eagles. I may jump on that one.
Oh, wow. He's there with four quarterbacks, so, I mean.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting, though.
No, I got you. Don't miss your flight. I'll let you go. Safe travels, best of luck to your mom, all right?
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
It's Paula Bovin there for a couple of minutes. News and notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Paula Bovin joins us every week with news and notes. She is terrific. Appreciate her time. On the other side, I'm going to get into some of these numbers around the Diamondbacks. We'll jump back over on the NFL side of things. Derek Hall's going to be with us at the top of hour number two. I have not visited with Derek on the show in a long, long time. And I just want him on to know how many churro dogs they've sold. That's it. I'm just kidding. I want to talk to you about Goldschmidt in the biggest stage and what the organization can do about that and how high can he go with the payroll. Let's say Cole Hamels is out there and the Red Sox are chasing him. Would the Diamondbacks consider going down that path? He won't talk about him by name because that's tampering, but we'll get a feel on that. It's in about 20 minutes. Derek Hall in about 10 minutes. We'll talk about the Diamondbacks and their quick start with the president of the team. Adrian Wilson press conference coming up at 1 over the Cardinals facility. The Diamondbacks are off today. They're off to a quick start. Stanley Johnson has not yet announced if he's leaving U of A. And I asked Paul about that a little bit earlier. And my thought is, I've heard of kids that really like being in college. And no matter how much money is sitting out there, sometimes kids just say, "I really don't want to go. I really don't want to go." Is it the fear of the unknown? Is this something that the NBA is looking at, saying, why is this kid not announcing sooner? You know, U of A has brought through some recruits here in the last couple of weeks that they have not landed. This is the time of year. This is the season of transferring. This is the year where fifth-year seniors come out, or Bo Ryan would say, we don't take any of those guys, you know, it's fine. And some of them have rolled through U of A. This is going to be the first off-season of college basketball that I can recall ever where all four programs in our state I can look at and talk about year-round and do so with some passion and some zest and some zeal. I am really big on college basketball here in our state. Unfortunately, for far too long, there's only been one program that for the most part has been relevant. And that's a fact. I really feel like what Arizona State's doing is very, very smart and very, very savvy, and that the athletic director is the right one that is in place. And to that end, over the weekend, they hired Brian Merritt. This is a name that high school, and we have a lot of high school and college people that are hoopaholics, like myself. You want to know what's going on inside and out of the program. I don't have all the answers, but I will tell you that when I heard that Brian Merritt was hired, and he's there on the left, he's worked with John Lucas. John Lucas is the director, or Brian rather, is the director of scouting recruiting for John Lucas camps. So he's tied in the youth basketball front. He's been with John Lucas for a number of years. Why is this significant? Because it's not just another assistant coach who has some connections and some contacts. That's fine. You know, that's fine. It's like Scott Pera, who finished runner-up for the Bucknell job over the weekend, formerly here at ASU. He's the reason James Harden came. He ends up getting passed over, which is unfortunate for him. You have to have some guys that have some connections well beyond what we see. Just send a coach out, get on a plane. And from my understanding, Brian Merritt has those. So as Hurley has built his staff, I like the direction that he's gone there. Over the weekend, Mitch Lightfoot. Eric, did you like Lightfoot at Gilbert Christian? Did you see enough of him?
Haven't seen him play a lot. Seemed like a good player.
He's better than just a good player. So okay. He reopened his recruiting over the weekend.
And from what I've read, ASU is already hot and heavy.
Yeah. So he was committed to New Mexico, and it was driving me crazy with Herb. I mean, just nuts with him. How there were all these very good local players. This isn't me saying, hometown sports guy, oh, you have to go get him because he's here locally. No, if they can't play dead, then don't bring him. If they have two left feet, don't bring them. You know, if they can't dribble with their left, I don't want them. These are guys that can play. And I felt like, man, from a recruiting standpoint, I don't know, if Casey Benson is good enough to go to Oregon, then he's probably good enough to go here. I get it. Trey Holder came, and Trey looks like a good player.
And ASU lost one of their players over the weekend. Connor McDougal transferred out.
Which is fine. He needed to go.
He's headed to South Mountain Community College.
He needed to go. It's,
I don't know if he was asked them to release the scholarship. Or
doesn't matter.
The new coaching staff said, thanks, but no thanks.
Doesn't matter. I'm not going to speak ill will about him. He was not a good fit for Arizona State. You know, Connor McDougal is probably going to go do the right thing, go play, and then he'll go find another program. He just needs to get on the floor. He's not going to play. So I'm fine with him leaving. That's not a surprise. And I don't think that hurts them with Corona del Sol. So Lightfoot reopens his commitment. Satterwhite, the other kid over at Gilbert Christian, who committed to Colorado, again, I was told, you know, Herb doesn't think he's their type of player. I don't know. All I saw him do is look a lot like Sean Marion out on the floor, both ends. You know, coach the club ball out of him, and he'll be just fine. Alex Barcelo got his eighth offer over the weekend from Memphis. Josh Pastner came in and offered Barcelo. So while Hurley has come in here in the first couple of weeks, he's just made some moves that have been long overdue, in my opinion. Go hire somebody with national reach that has been involved in the junior high and high school sectors. It's kind of crazy. The other night, I'm watching my 10-year-old play, and a guy comes up to me and he says, what class is your son in? I said, well, he's in fourth grade. He's like, no, what year? And I had to do the math. Okay, he's a fourth grader, which means he has eight more years to go. It's 2015, so he's 2023. guy says, oh, there's a website right now you can go look at that has the top 50 players in the class of 2023. Why would I want to go see what fourth graders are already rated? That stuff's out there. And so a guy like Brian Merrick comes in to Hurley's staff, and he already knows a bunch of this stuff. I hope he doesn't know who the top fourth grader is. You know, and in Sean's case in Tucson, if he gets Stanley to come back for another year, what is the holdup here? Is it I've got to take a chemistry class? I don't know. Is I have to take a final before I decide if I'm going to go? You know, Jack Murphy got a very good commitment over the weekend, too, up at NAU. And Dan's doing a terrific job over at Grand Canyon. There's not a weak link in any of the four. If we could get to a point where the four would play each other at some point every season, if we could get to a point where Grand Canyon and ASU and U of A can just get along and not worry about who's going to who to sign up for online classes, because it's above Dan Marley and Bobby Hurley. It's above Dan Marley and Sean Miller. If we could get to a point where all four schools play one another, it would be terrific for our state. It would make sense financially for these basketball programs. It would create a ton of interest. If NAU is playing GCU, where U of A is playing ASU on the same weekend or the same, or whatever it is, and GCU goes to Tucson and ASU plays NAU on their campus, I would love to see that. I don't know if the competition is getting too close, though, between all these programs any longer. It shouldn't be. I mean, Arizona and Arizona State should pursue one type of player. GCU and NAU should pursue another type. I don't know if that's the case. Barcelo is listing Grand Canyon as one of his eight. They've offered him. There's a family connection there with Dan Marley. It's really interesting what could happen over on that front. It's a couple of years away. Derek Hall's on the other side. We'll talk with the president of the Diamondbacks and much more. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So my Santan Ford experience, just like this over the weekend, I'm running around doing errands. This is a big week for me. It's a big, big personal week for me. You guys know I wear it on my sleeve. When stuff comes up, I let you in on it. My daughter graduates college this Thursday. She's graduating from Grand Canyon. She turns 21 the next day. Got my daughter flying in from Chicago. I've got family that's coming in this week. It's going to be a busy, busy week. I've got business I've got to do on top of all of it. And I've got to have a vehicle that I rely upon and I depend upon. And for me, it's the hybrid, the Ford Fusion Hybrid. Over the weekend, as I was running to basketball and into things going on, I pulled in on Saturday night, 52 miles per the gallon. 52 miles to the gallon. About the next time you stop in and you fill up for gas and you're looking at 25, 30, and you're saying to yourself, man, I cannot believe I'm paying all this money for something that disappears. Think about the hybrid for your busy travels from Santan Ford. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Appreciate General Manager Tim Hovick through 3 years. Going strong with us here at Sports360AZ.com. Derek Hall's on the other side. We'll continue on a busy Monday. Sports360AZ.com. Off we go into hour number two, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat with you. And it's been a busy, busy Tuesday. Adrian Wilson press conference at 1 o'clock over at the Cardinals facility. That is coming up later this afternoon. It's going to be a busy week over at the Cardinals. There's a lot that is going on over there. There'll be draft preparation and all that sort of stuff. You know, what's really cool about what we do is when I'm sitting here doing a show and we go through the content end of things, and just a couple of minutes ago, it was pretty cool. One of the, we do the show here at Skyview. You see Skyview here on the mic flag. We've been partnering with Skyview for the last year and a half as we continue to grow this. The Arizona Republic called us a year and a half ago and said, Brad, we want your content every day. We see where you're going with digital. So it's pretty cool. Like, I don't know, it was like a half hour ago, ABC Radio is housed here in this in these studios with Skyview. And their executive director came in during a break from New York City, and he's out here touring. He's like, oh, digital, you got it. So, yeah, this is what we do every day. It's so much fun, and there's a lot of freedom here. And that's what it's all about. Some of what is on my mind in the world of sports, and then Derek Hall is scheduled to join us, Diamondbacks president and CEO. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. We appreciate General Manager Tim Hovick and company for 3 years. When I left Channel 3, Tim said, Brad, we're with you. For 3 years, Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The Diamondbacks are off today. Nice win over the weekend. The numbers are really, really good. Eighth in all of baseball in offense, ninth in fielding, and the starting pitching. All starters went at least six innings in all seven games on the road trip. Off today, Archie throws on Wednesday night. A lot of momentum there. The Cardinals, 1 o'clock press conference for Adrian Wilson retiring. Adrian Peterson, will he show up at the Viking workouts? Tim Tebow signs a one-year contract. And Ohio State drew 99,000 fans. I'm not exaggerating. 99,000 fans for their spring game. Disappointing weekend for the Coyotes, missing out on one of the top two picks in the NHL draft. And on college basketball's front, Bobby Hurley hires Brian Merritt. Terrific hire. Worked with John Lucas, director of scouting recruiting for John Lucas. I think a really good pickup for Bobby Hurley over at Arizona State. Some of what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Santan Ford. Derek Hall now joins us. Diamondbacks president and CEO. How are you?
I'm good, Brad. Sounds like you're doing well.
I'm having fun, you know, and you know what's fun is a baseball team that plays the game well, that doesn't kick the ball around the field, that doesn't sit there and kind of struggle with things. I'm very, very, I picked them to win. I picked your team to win 84 games with Pedro. Pedro comes on with us every week.
Yep.
And Pedro said, you've lost your mind. I said, no, 84. Last week I had Jody Jackson on, and I love Jody. And she's like, can you give me your rationale? It's not like she was doubting me. She's like, give me your explanation. I said, well, they were hurt. The pitching's not going to be as horrible as everybody's making it out to be. And if it is, they're going to make changes. They're not going to sit there all season long and say, we don't have any options. And they're just going to play better. I'm feeling pretty good there, Mr. Hall. I need 77 more wins, and I'm on it. So,
yeah. And you know, we arguably should have won that series in San Diego,
right,
too. So there's a couple more wins that we probably could have had, and that's a sign of a really good team. And that, you know, the losses that we've had, Brad, have all been close. And, you know, we've had a chance to win every one of those games. We were getting blown out. You know, and the only blowout that we had, we actually had a chance to win with Goldie on deck as the tying run,
yep,
for that final game of the homestand here. So I'm encouraged. I'm not pounding my chest and saying, oh, we're going to win the division. It's none of that. But I'm with you. I think it's a big bounce back year. We were very injured. We had a lot of bad luck last year. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And so now, you know, we went into this offseason trying to rebuild some of that surplus, restock the cupboards, and we brought in a lot of young pitching, and we have depth now for the first time in a long time. We have good starting pitching at AAA, at AA, that we could turn to if we need to. You know, if they're not performing at this level or if we have injuries, then we have places we could turn. We didn't have a lot of that depth before.
No, you didn't. And the depth that you had, you know, I look over at Trevor Bauer. It's probably best for him to move on. And you've got to move through that. At the same time, Patrick Corbin's going to be back here at some point. I think Daniel Hudson's going to be a wild card in a lot of cases for you. Could he be somebody that closes down the road? Is he going to be back in the rotation as you stretch him out? Hernandez is going to be throwing. So, no, I like all that. What is the biggest surprise to you through the first 13 games?
Well, the biggest surprise has been the starting pitching. You know, I think the first week, the way we started off was more of what I expected and others expected. It was going to be It was really a crapshoot because these guys are unproven. They're very young. You know, for the most part, none of them have pitched 200 innings in a season. So it's going to be development. It's going to be progress in the making. So to see them perform so well, and especially Archie, you know, to start his major league career, has been tremendous. I knew the defense was going to be strong. We knew we were going to play the game the right way with Chip Hale and with his coaching staff, and we thought we were going to have a very good offense. You know, people forget with the number of injuries we had last year, when you don't have Paul Goldschmidt, you don't have A.J. Pollock, and, you know, Trumbo wasn't healthy, and you know, of course, Peralta came on and Inciarte came on, but we just didn't have that offensive thump or that factor that was there from a health standpoint where the, mm-hmm, you know, we have it now. I mean, this is going to be a very consistent team. They're going to make the plays, as you mentioned, with Ahmed and Chris Owings. You're going to see some spectacular plays. And with Jake Lamb now, you look at that young infield, that's exciting. When you have Goldschmidt and Owings and Ahmed and Lamb that can play together for a very long time, and now we have the outfield depth And eventually these young pitchers are going to develop. And when you've got guys still in the minors like Blair and like Shipley and Webster and Ray, you know, they're coming. And that's really exciting too.
Ninth in fielding, only five errors. I mean, for me, and I don't like to stat listeners to death, but the offense is eighth in hitting. Okay, that's great. But I don't know, for the last three, 4 years, it was just hard to watch a team not execute fundamentally. And Goldschmidt's number one in fielding for all of first baseman and all of baseball. And Goswich, which to me is probably the biggest surprise, BB said on the broadcast the other day, you can make an argument for him as a gold glover early in the season. I don't think that's hyperbole here. He's third for all catchers in MLB in fielding.
Yeah, and he's not afraid to call for a ball to bounce in the dirt, and he's going to block it. You know, you have some catchers that just don't like having to drop to their knees, and so they're calling more fastballs, whereas, you know, it's just the opposite with Tuffy. He takes such great pride in studying the opposition, knowing how to get guys out, and he'll call for that ball in the dirt, and he does such a tremendous job with it. And he's always been good at cutting down the running game. Goldie is a tremendous defender. Yeah, Jake Lamb is very good at third base, which is why he won the job. A.J. Pollock, I'll put him out there with any center fielder. When A.J. is healthy, he can track down anything. Look at that play he made yesterday, laying out and saving the first inning. I mean, he's just, that's who he is, and he's fun to watch. We have very good defense, but that's also a credit to Chip Hale, to Andy Green, to Dave McKay. They take great pride in teaching these guys the right way, making sure they play defensively the way they should each and every day.
Derek Hall, President and CEO of the Diamondbacks, with us for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sesmat with you. The Bradley effect, this is not Randy and Kurt in terms of television ratings when they pitch. Nothing will be like that until you get to those postseason runs. But through two starts, your partnership with Fox Sports Arizona and just buzz in general, are you seeing a trend on nights that he pitches?
We have, yeah. And they're very happy with their ratings. In fact, we had our highest rating in over a year the night that he pitched, and we happened to have Randy Johnson in the booth as a guest for a few minutes, and we peaked, you know, and
sure.
It just big numbers. But there's a lot of excitement about Archie, and that's one thing about our fan base. They follow our minors. They like our number one picks. You know, they get excited when these guys come up, and Archie's been in the conversation for, you know, for 3 years, and to see him come up now and have an impact, and he's been at that AA and AAA level with guys like Blair and Shipley who are right there, as I mentioned, knocking on the door. So we're getting to a point where we think we could have a really strong rotation here in the future with De La Rosa and with Robbie Ray when he figures it out. You know, a left-hander who throws 96 to 98 is unreal. You know, there's a great free agent class next year that after the season, we could look to supplement, bring in a strong starter, and now you're looking at a completely different team because you're going to win if you have starting pitching. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the Dodgers. You know, that's how you win. Look at what we did in 2001. But it's very tough to go out and just acquire one of those with a market of our size. So we have to develop them, and that's why we went and got the young guys. And having the first pick this year, you know, chances of us picking, a pitcher are probably pretty strong. You know, but we're going to have the first pick in each round. So again, we're going to have ways for us to improve our pitching.
It's a good thing you don't have the lottery like the Coyotes.
That's so sad.
I'm not taking a shot at them, but geez,
no,
man.
You go. It's not their fault.
No.
I mean, goodness, we thought you were going to get them one or two, and with two outstanding players there ready for the taking, I was certainly depressed that we got a third pick there.
You brought up something interesting. I brought it up last week, and that is, and I'm not going to use names because that's tampering, but there's some players that are out there right now, and they have big numbers attached to their contracts, but they're starting pitching. What is your ceiling for payroll for 2015?
Well, we've really hit our max already. We're actually over for this year. I mean, we budgeted $90, $91 million, and we're over with the signings of Lopez and Tomas. And at some point here, we're going to have to address that probably and you know, make a move or two. But we don't want to take away from the talent on our field.
Sure.
But we also have an appetite. I mean, if we're playing well, if things look good and we look like we're in the hunt around the trade deadline, we probably look to stretch that as we always do. But at this point, you know, our budget's around 90, 91, but next year that'll grow, and we'll also have more room to play with because some of our contracts will be off of our books, and, you know, we're going to look to be very active next winter.
And that is one of those things where you pick up the phone, or Tony picks up the phone, or Dave, or you guys have a conference call with Ken and say, you know what, we could go for it this year, potentially.
And he's always been, as you know, very generous.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
Ken's
no,
always wanted
fine.
To let us do what we need to do to try and win, and he never... he's very accommodating, and look, these are owners and Ken leading the way that has never put a dime in his pocket. You know, none of them have, and so they constantly put money back into the product on the field or into the experience here at the ballpark.
I mean, just look what he did with Cody Ross. I mean, it's
absolutely. Those are tough decisions. Yeah, with Cody and with Cahill. You know, we took the majority of Trevor's of salary, yeah. But it was very important for us to try and open up a spot for Bradley because we felt like he earned it in the spring.
What do you think happens with Pete Rose? That came out over the weekend that Fox is hiring him. Do you think he gets reinstated?
I think at some point, Brad, probably. I mean, it makes sense. You know, and if it is going to happen, you hope it happens during his lifetime. I mean, it's hard to imagine a Hall of Fame without Pete Rose in it, you know, the way he played. But it was a very serious offense, and I understand why Bud never wanted to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, commissioners before him, because that was the number one rule for years was you do not gamble. You know, you do not bet on baseball. And for him to have been the manager at the time, and some will say, yeah, but it was his team. You know, he wanted to win. Well, of course, but then again, you know, do you put people in harm's way? You know, if you need to win so bad because you're gambling on your team, do you have a closer pitch four games in a row when he shouldn't? You know, or do you push that starting pitcher over the innings limit because you're trying to win so bad? So I get it. You know, I get both sides of the argument, but again, it is tough. And I go back just about every year to the Hall of Fame. It's tough to not see his plaque on that wall.
Yeah, you couldn't bring him in to throw out a first pitch or anything right now.
No. No,
he's still out, and we're thinking of taking the show back to the Hall of Fame too with Randy.
Oh, good,
that's such a big deal. I'm curious on your end. It's going to be 10 years for you. May 23rd is your 10-year anniversary in Arizona, and it's hard to believe it's been 10 years. And what do you think you've been able to accomplish for you personally? You've overcome some adversity with your health. Mm-hmm. The organization, I think, under your watch has certainly grown civically and corporately. They've had their struggles, ups and downs with winning and losing, but what have you been able to accomplish in 10 years?
I appreciate that. You know, the one goal, obviously, that I have is to win a world championship, and I have not been able to accomplish that. And to win a couple of divisions has been nice, but we need to be a consistent winner and have a sustainable model, which we're trying to build right now. I think everything that we have been able to control, you know, our impact in the community, surpassing the $41 billion mark, providing the best fan experience, I think, in all of baseball, treating our fans and our players better than any team in sports, the best fan experience here, which includes affordability, security, cleanliness, what we've done to the ballpark, some of the corporate partners we brought in, the culture that we've created here. I think we have a culture that is second to none of any organization. We have employees that love this organization. They love each other, and it's a wonderful place to work. So I'm very proud. You know, the tenure that I've had here and our leadership team, we've grown tremendously. The revenues, taking them from, you know, roughly 160 to well over 200 million. The new TV deal,
that's
the new
crazy
training
number.
Facility.
The TV number is crazy.
It is crazy, and it's good. You know, it's good for our franchise and
sure.
For building Salt River Field at Talking Stick was one of my greatest accomplishments. So there's a lot that we've done, and I'm really proud of, Brad. But I'm not happy until we win that get another trophy here.
What do you do with the stadium? You know, it's been too big. I've heard that.
Yeah,
and it's coming up on. It's been around, you know,
well,
people
it
hard
sure
to believe
looks.
It's coming up on 20 years of the stadium. Do you have to start looking at remodeling, refurbishing the stadium?
I think eventually you look at all your options. I mean, it still looks as good today as it did when it opened, if not even better today. So we're really proud of the facility. I think ideally, you know, in an ideal world, you would love to have a stadium now, and you look at teams that are building them, even in large markets, somewhere 38,000 to 42,000. It makes it a little more intimate. You know, it's nice on days like opening day or playoffs where you do have 50,000 to sell, but you would certainly like to create that supply and demand and also have a more intimate setting. But I love this ballpark, and I think it rivals any when the weather is good and that roof and door panels are open. It is gorgeous. So we really haven't, you know, thought about changing anything. Sure, we would love to have a smaller stadium, but I'm very proud of this place, and I know our fans love being here.
How many churro dogs have you sold?
We sold 1,100 on opening night. We actually sold out. Yeah, that alone. So we're well into like 2,500 that we've sold. And remember last year the D-Bat, we sold 10,000 units of that big 18-inch corn dog.
That's good stuff. Good stuff.
No,
I appreciate getting caught up with you. I'll see you at the ballpark
always,
Wednesday,
Brad.
For Archie.
Look forward to it. I hope you do go to Cooperstown. That's going to be a lot of fun.
We'll work on it. Thanks, Derek.
All right. You got it.
It's Derek Hall for a couple of minutes. President, CEO of the Diamondbacks. 10 years for Derek Hall. Eric, if we're talking about executives here in the Valley, Derek's been over there, and if they had been winning over the last 10 years... he would go down right now as the best executive that's run through here. And I'm not being critical of him. It's just the team hasn't won yet. He's done a really good job over there. You know, Rick Welts, when he was with the Suns, absolutely terrific. Steve Keim is in a different role. He's a general manager of a football team. Michael's done a really good job of taking what was an absolute negative eyesore and very adversarial relationship with Arizona State back in the day and has put that basically behind people. Derek's just, he's been terrific.
10 years.
10 years this month. Yeah. Or actually next month, May 23rd. Hard to believe. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Stay with us.